A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. Azariah stood up in the fire and prayed aloud, "For your name's sake, O Lord, do not deliver us up forever, or make void your covenant. Do not take away your mercy from us, for the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, your holy one, to whom you promised to multiply their offspring like the stars of heaven, or the sand on the shore of the sea. For we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation, brought low everywhere in the world this day, because of our sins. We have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader, no burnt offering, sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruits, to find favor with you. But with contrite heart and humble spirit, let us be received, as though it were burnt offerings of rams and bullocks, or thousands of fat lambs. So let our sacrifice be in your presence today, as we follow you unreservedly. For those who trust in you cannot be put to shame. And now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you and we pray to you. Do not let us be put to shame, but deal with us in your kindness and great mercy. Deliver us by your wonders, and bring glory to your name, O Lord." Verbum Domini. Remember your mercies, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your kindness are from of old. In your kindness, remember me, because of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I have pity on you?" Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." Verbum Domini. If my counting is correct, we're now at day 21 of our Lenten journey, about midway through Lent. And we remind ourselves that we are called to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Surrounding these Lenten practices, which should be composed as a part of our daily fabric of our lives, is the invitation, the need to extend mercy and forgiveness as called for throughout sacred scripture. In the first week of Lent, you'll recall there was a reading from Leviticus where the Lord said to Moses, "You shall not bear hatred for your brother in your heart, though you may need to reprove him. Take no revenge and cherish no grudge. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And also later in the first week of Lent, from chapter 6 of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus taught us how to pray, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, where we ask for forgiveness of our sins, but equally we extend forgiveness to those who have sinned or harmed us. Jesus instructs us, "If you forgive their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." It raises questions. How often must we forgive? Forgive, which at times can be wearisome and frustrating. When can we stop? When will the Lord be satisfied? It was taught by some rabbis in ancient times that forgiving someone three times for the same offense was sufficient. So, as conveyed in today's gospel reading from St. Matthew, St. Peter's suggestion of forgiving someone seven times would seem to be very, very generous. But Jesus replies that forgiveness should have no boundaries. The reference to 77 times calls upon the Jewish numerology that signifies the number seven as endless, an infinite number of times. Basically, Jesus is stating, forgive always. Don't keep track. My friends, the message is clear. Our forgiving others should be unlimited because God's love for us has no bounds. His mercy is unlimited. By forgiving without limit, we join in God's creative activity of bringing mercy to the world. For it is by and through love that all is possible, including forgiveness. God loves us so much, so completely, that he forgives all our debts to him, but he equally calls us to forgive others as we pray, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We should ponder, do we really, really mean this? At times, does anger or grudges or hatred or judgmental attitudes and self-centeredness overcome us, weighing us down like millstones, burdening our spirits and shackling us from truly living a life of peace and contentment? Harboring resentment inhibits us from extending forgiveness from our hearts. The attitudes of unforgiveness can fester. It could become a spiritual cancer, leading to barriers for our eternal salvation. Consider the short time that we are here. Maybe some of us upwards of 100 years, but we will all pass to a new reality called eternity. And when that time comes, when we are met and judged by Jesus, will he say to us, as I forgave all your trespasses, why did you not do so to others? Saint Faustina, the apostle of divine mercy, recorded in her diary a prayer. It reads as follows. Help me, O Lord, that my tongue may be merciful, so that I should never speak negatively of my neighbor, but have a word of comfort and forgiveness for all. And later in her diary, she recorded a meditation. He who knows how to forgive prepares for himself many graces from God. As often as I look upon the cross, so often will I forgive with all my heart. With mercy and forgiveness in our hearts, we can obtain God's grace, as Jesus conveyed to Saint Faustina in a revelation to her. Jesus told her, know that as often as you come to me, humbling yourself and asking for my forgiveness, I pour out a superabundance of graces on your soul, and your imperfection vanishes before my eyes, and I see only your love and your humility. You lose nothing, but gain much. We are called to love without constraint, without hesitation, without boundaries. And in the expression of that love, we are called to forgive completely. Consider that to forgive from the heart should be joyful. However, forgiving others is not or may not be easy, maybe hard. It can be difficult or even painful to do so. As our catechism states, it is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense, but the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory in transforming the hurt into intercession. Forgiving others is therefore not a surrender to hurt or pain, but from our hearts an extension and release of God's mercy into an angry world that so very, very much is in need of mercy. True forgiveness, the forgiveness that brings us joy, comes from the heart, because that is where God is. In the deepest, most innermost part of our being is where we find God. But if we block this pool of mercy and love and forgiveness, and if we replace it with wrath or anger or desire for retribution and revenge, we fall into self-righteousness and persist in habits of judging and condemning. And if we do all that, we lose. We lose our chance for mercy. Certainly, we are not called to permit others to harm with impunity. Those who sin are not free from paying the consequences of their wrongdoings. Incorrect actions are called to judgment and correction. And it may seem that whatever horrors that we or our loved one or even our nation may suffer or have suffered may seem at times too great to allow for forgiveness. Yet, if we hold the key to unlocking God's mercy, and we do hold that key of unlocking the mercy to the world, and by choice and by will, we can pray for those who have hurt us, just as Jesus did from the cross when he prayed to the Father, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." It may take time, but we can see beyond the hurtful acts of others and consider their own sorrowful condition. In that state of release, in that state of forgiveness, we hold the key to unlocking God's mercy to the world. We are the ones who will decide whether the acts of others take on a new meaning, and we are the ones who will decide whether others will be healed by God's mercy or whether enmity and alienation will prevail. In that sense, God has placed in our hands a huge but very, very wonderful responsibility. And my friends, as difficult as it may be to make forgiveness a fabric of our daily lives, should we do any less if it endangers our pathway to eternal happiness with our triune God? So, when we come to the communion rite of this holy mass, as we pray the Lord's Prayer and petition the Father to forgive us our trespasses, from our hearts, in all sincerity and all humility, let us exclaim that we forgive those who trespass against us.